just not mine, but yours as well. And we will start by reading John chapter 9. If you have your Bible, I'm reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. John chapter 9. Okay, let me just prepare this. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. Right. I'll start. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Amen. Praise the Lord for reading of the scriptures. We'll be looking at this particular story and we'll be pointing out several similarities on this blind man to us. We'll be starting with point number one. We can say, oops, there. We are like him in his weakness. We are like this particular blind man in his weakness. When they asked Jesus who sinned this man, caused this man to be born blind, Jesus answered, it was neither this man or his parents who sinned, but in order for the works of God to be displayed in him. So the disciples during that time, they just attributed the sickness or the blindness or the deformity to the typical outlook of their day back then, to sin. They think that if someone has this deformity, blindness, leprosy, etc., maybe they are sinning. So that's what the disciples said. So they wanted to determine whose sin it was. Maybe it's the sin of the child. But then, since the man was born blind, they said, oh, maybe it's the sin of the parents. They just wanted to know. But this man was born blind for the glory of God. That's what Jesus said. He said, this man, when he was born from this world, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, it was just done to him, because at this day, the glory of God will be revealed. That's very difficult to picture if you are looking at the point of the blind man. So for example, we are the blind man, right? I was born blind. I asked my parents, why am I blind? Even my parents can't answer. And not just 10 years pass, not just 20 years pass, 30 and 40 years, I am just hopeless. I just say, no, I'm never going to see again. So from this blind man's perspective, the Lord's not looking at me. The Lord doesn't care about me because I'm blind. I can't see the world. I can see his creation. I can hear the stories that they teach me, or from my friends or relatives, but I can't see them. I can't appreciate it. Do you know that there might be hardships and obstacles in our life that are there so that God will be glorified in them at a particular time? Not now. Sometimes it's happening in our lives, same as this particular blind man, where it happened to him so long ago, even when he was born. He was blind. But Jesus said, this time, 30, 40 years from now, from before you were born, you will receive your sight. Because the glory of God will be revealed on that time. We often think of someone who glorifies God as maybe an athlete who won the Super Bowl or someone who won Wimbledon, for example. And he thanks God for his victory. We could easily do that, right? Because if we are victorious, we could easily say, oh Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this. As Daisy said, thank you, Lord, for my job, right? It's very easy. But if it's hardships, if it's difficulties, that's very hard. We can't easily attribute that for the glory of God. We can't easily say, oh, that's for the glory of God. That's why you're suffering today. It can be much harder to glorify God in our difficulties. But sometimes we need to see that... Oh, sorry, one more. God has ordained even our weaknesses so that we might glorify Him in them by coming to Him. So let me just repeat that. We need to see that God has ordained even our weaknesses so that we may glorify Him in them. It's not just because you are weak today, if you are encountering difficulties today, that you say, the Lord is always punishing me, or the Lord is doing this stuff to me. I can't do anything about it. But there is a chance. Well, there's always the chance that we may glorify God in them. But you might say, that's not true. You can't say that. That's very odd to say. It's a very odd thing to say. But that happened to the blind man. You see, put yourselves in the shoes of the blind man. On that particular day, he received his sight. And then Jesus said, not because of your sin, not because of your parents' sin, but because I want my glory to be seen in you. Because of my difficulties, because of our difficulties, because of the blindness of the man. It may be that way in an issue or on our lives. Anything. You may wrestle with a physical difficulty or habitual sin or some other problems in your life. And sometimes we see it as a curse in extremity. But the truth is, if that problem puts you on your face before God so that you will know that you need Jesus in your life, that's a positive thing. If it's letting you see, if that particular problem is letting you see that you can't do it, I can't do anything about it, you need Jesus. That's what we sang, right? We need Jesus. Listen, it is better to have a problem in your life right now that leads you to look to Jesus as your Savior than to have a problem-free life right now and allows you to turn back to God. It's better to have problems now because you will see the need rather than be always enjoying or always in the high up of the wheel that you can't experience any problems and you turn your back to God. You forget God sometimes because of that. Okay. Let me move on. God in His sovereign plan has allowed some of us to have problems that put us on our face before Him. And we can thank Jesus for that. Because those are opportunities. So we, like this particular blind man, his weakness is like us. I can put myself in the guy's story, in the blind man's story, because our weakness can lead to Jesus and to salvation, like this blind man has experienced. Let's move on to the next point. We are like him in his blindness, because he is blind. We know that this man was born blind, and then many of us will not say like we're not born blind. We can say, no, I'm different because I'm not born blind. But we all know this as Christians, we're born spiritually blind. We're not seeing what God wants us to see the first time we came here on earth. We're spiritually blind. That man's physical blindness is symbolic of the spiritual blindness all of us are also born with. When you were born on earth, you may not be blind physically, but you're also blind spiritually. How can I say that? When I grow older, even if my parents are not teaching me bad stuff or, oh, don't play with your brother, don't play with your sister, I still do that anyway. Even if my parents always teach me good things, sometimes I do the opposite. Because it's very inherent in our bodies, in our flesh. Every one of us is born with a sinful nature that leads us to choose the wrong way in our lives. It is on every one of us. If not just us adults, but even the smallest child, even the littlest one, even Baja. So this blindness can also mean our inability to see that we need God to be a part of our life. Sometimes we say, I'm not that blind, but sometimes you're not seeing enough that God can do something in your life right now. You just say, I don't need God in this particular portion of my life. I do this stuff. I serve the church. I do this stuff. But the Lord is saying, we need God in every part of our life. Maybe you're blind at that point. Maybe you're blind on the 10% of your eyes. It can also be the inability to see what God is pointing us to do, what God wanted us to do. This man was not able to follow Jesus when he was blind. No, he can't. He doesn't know where Jesus is. But when Jesus opened his eyes, he was now able to follow Jesus. Maybe there are parts in our life where we can't follow Jesus in this road, in this path that I'm taking, at work, at school, or anywhere else. Maybe I can't follow Jesus in that place in my life because I'm blind. But when Jesus opens my eyes, I can follow him. He can lead me to what he wants me to do. So, what did Jesus do to that particular blind man? That specific portion of the story is very interesting to me, because if a man is born blind, something was not developed scientifically, right? His eyesight might have been blocked, or his eyesight or nerves or whatever it is in his body are not functioning properly. It might not even be there. So, by the power of creation and Jesus, he was able to do a certain thing that God, in the very beginning of life, did for Adam. He spat on the ground, formed something on the clay, put it on the man's eyes. Symbolic in a sense that he's saying, something that's not in you yet, I'm bringing it to you. It's the power of creation in Jesus. I'm putting it in your eyes right now. Only Jesus has the power to do that. Only Jesus is able to do that for us. So our first step to spiritual sight, to a testimony of salvation, is what? How the blind man did. Admit our sin. Admit that we cannot see. No, I can't see. Definitely the blind man can easily say that. Hopefully we can too. We can say, Lord, I am blind on this particular thing. I'm not looking at what you wanted me to look. I'm not following what you wanted me to do. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to what you wanted me to do. In verse 41 of the passage that we read earlier, later on, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. He was talking to the Pharisees. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. These men were proud. They would admit that they were sinners and in need of a Savior. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like pretentious people of saying, we don't need God in that particular portion of our life. We wanted to be those who admits their sins, admits our blindness, admits our inability to look, admits our unwillingness to look to the stuff that God wanted us to do. Don't be proud like those men. Pride is the great sin that sends millions of people to hell right now. Don't be like that. Let's not be like that. Admit that we are spiritually blind and we need the Lord. Like this particular blind man that we're talking about today. We only need Jesus to overcome our blindness. Now we move on to the next one. Point number 3, on how we are the same with this blind man. We are like him in his belief. We are like him in his belief. Jesus pointed the blind man and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash there, after Jesus put the clay in his eyes. Jesus completes the healing by the person's faith, by the person acting on his belief. He is believing that Jesus has done something in his eyes. So when Jesus said, I'll go to the pool of Siloam, okay, I'll go, I'll wash. We cannot do anything by ourselves, but that's what we mentioned earlier. We cannot do anything by ourselves, but we can believe that Jesus can heal us of our blindness. Let me repeat that. We can believe that Jesus can heal us of our blindness. I did not say we can do this so that we may be healed of blindness. We need to believe that Jesus can heal us of it. We need to believe that Jesus can open our eyes on the particular thing that God wanted us to do. Real washing is something that God does for you. It's not yours. It's not me doing it. I'm not cleansing myself of sin. It's God doing the cleansing. It's God doing the correcting on me. How is the blind man's eyes open? You know, it wasn't anything that he did. It wasn't anything that he wanted to do. He might have been able to wash his face in the pool of Siloam several times already, or something like that. Maybe he's done that. Maybe he's washed his face several times, but nothing happened. He's still blind. There was nothing he could do to heal himself. There is nothing we could do on ourselves to get us out of the blindness in our heart, in our Christian lives. The miracle was totally accomplished by Jesus alone. All the man did was, I'm saying it again, believe in what Jesus did for him. There. It is what Jesus did for you, not what you can do for him, that saves you. Jesus, not me. Not what I can do. Not what I can contribute to church, for example. Not what I can do in my work. Not what I can do in our home. Not what I try to accomplish myself. Not my accomplishments, not my ambitions. But God. It is the same way with us too, for this particular one. Once you admit your sin, as we mentioned earlier, the next step is not to try and be good and say, no, I'll try and not do that again. No. And cover up the sin. The next thing you need to do is to trust that what Jesus did on the cross paid for the sins that I've committed. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says here, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. It's just the Bible language of saying, we're paid in full. It's done. It's complete. We sometimes forget the meaning of that. We sometimes forget the meaning of paid in full. It means when you trust in Jesus, He comes into our life in His Holy Spirit and regenerates us or heals us or creates the thing that is missing in our life. Same as this blind man. Something that I am not able to do because I'm not born with it. And yet, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will pour a new life in you and let you do that thing that God wanted you to do. Because you are now healed. As I mentioned earlier, it is not what Jesus does for you. It is what Jesus does for you, not what you can do for Him that saves you. Just like this blind man, as we put ourselves in the man's shoes. This is not something that the blind man earned for himself. It is what Jesus did. Let's look at the next part of the story in John chapter 9. Later on, the very, very end, John chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. I'd just like to look at what happens at the last part after this man was healed. Verse 35 to 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, the blind man. And when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Oh, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. That's a good story there. Because when Jesus asked the blind man, do you believe in the Son of God? He's looking for the Son of God. Now that he's opened his eyes, he wanted to see this man. Who is that, Lord? Who is the Son of God? I wanted to meet him. I wanted to believe him. Now that this man's eyes have been opened, he is now able to look for something that God intends for his life to get. Right? Jesus said, You have both seen him. It is me, says the Lord. And he responded, Lord, I believe. This is the good news. Forgiveness of sin is not a matter of how many times you can go to church or how much money you can give or how good you can be. It is a matter of believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what saves us. Not what we try to put ourselves in action just to say, oh, I'm relieved. I can do this stuff for the Lord. We even add that. I can do this stuff for the Lord. Yes, I do this stuff for the Lord. Sometimes it's an excuse. What Jesus needs from us is to believe. Just believe that Jesus has died for me. That is enough. So we are like this man, this blind man, on his belief. The next one, We are like this man in his story. We are like this man on how on his testimony. Yeah. Let's go back to John chapter 9, verse 13 to 25. I'll read that back. Let's go up again to the middle of the chapter. John chapter 9, verse 13 to 25. That's the continuation of the story after Jesus healed the blind man. It says here, They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees who also asked him again, how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? and there was division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. They asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." One thing, one very crucial thing that man said that hit me. He said, "Only one thing I know. Whatever you say to him, whatever you think happened, whatever you think you can see in my life, whatever you think I did in the past, I was blind before, but now I see. Because of God, because of Jesus." This man, this blind man, is so like us in his weakness, in his blindness, in his belief, and in one other way, in his testimony. We also have that testimony. He had that testimony that's very simple. Very simple. He just says, "Oh, there's one thing I know. Then I was blind. Now I can see." And it's very effective. How effective? It's actually triggered the Pharisees. They're actually too concerned that this happened. They're really asking about what really happened to the blind man. He had a very simple but very powerful testimony. He even doesn't have any teachings that he received. He's not even to any seminary. Or he doesn't have any theological education. Maybe not even in college, I don't know. He doesn't have any discipleship training whatsoever. He's just, if we can read back to what from the beginning, Jesus saw him. He's not even walking to Jesus. Jesus saw him and then he healed him. He's not even to any Sunday school that we can say we've been to even once. He's not even to church. He's not even been to church. Maybe he's been to a synagogue. Maybe he's listened. Maybe he's heard. But he's not been trained. And yet, his testimony is very effective. What does that say about us? That means we don't need any training or discipleship for us to speak and tell others about our testimony. It's just what happened to us. That's the very effective story that we could tell, that we could say to another person to let them believe Jesus. It happened to the blind man. They were really, all of those people were really, really surprised. These religious experts, the Pharisees, were really confounded. They said, "What? How did that happen? How did you know? What happened to you?" It's as simple as saying, "The Lord changed me. I was this before, the Lord changed me." And that is a story in our life. Do you have a story? So I ask you, do you have a story? Yes, we have. It may be as simple as that day I just accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and the next day I'm good. Yes, it can be as simple as that. or it can be as grand as this particular scenario. But one thing is sure, you have a story. I have a story to tell. And I cannot keep it to myself. If I put myself in this blind man's shoes, the blind man was there to say what his story is, to tell others what his story is, to tell what happened to him. I may just say, oh, I was blind. I was once blind, now I see. And that's enough. That's enough for your friends. That's enough for your family. That's enough for God to work in your lives, in our lives today. So let's accept it. This is my story. And I have this story of how God changed me and how I can share it with someone else. On the other hand, if you have heard this message and you think you don't have a story yet, or you want to have your own story, I say to you, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day that Jesus wants you to have that story, same as the blind man, and be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this story that we have read. We thank you for the blind man's story. We thank you for this thing that happened, Father God, in John chapter 9, Father God, that was written, narrated, Father God, in the Bible, Father God, and we have read of the account of the blind man. Lord, we thank you because it has spoken to our hearts. Lord, we can see, we can hear, we can relate, Father God, to what happened to this blind man in his weakness, in his blindness, in his belief, and in his testimony, Father God. And right now, we pray, Father God, that our story that you've given us, Father God, the story of our redemption, the story of your salvation in our lives, Father God, will also be lifted up high above in our minds again today, Father God, and that we can share it, open our hearts, open our minds, Father God, and share the story, Father God, to others who would want to listen, Father God, just like what this blind man did. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you be glorified, and may you be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.